We're doing the Chazon Ish, Emuna uBitachon, and in fact, we're continuing our old series, which is as far as we got, up to page Mem Beis, the conclusion of the third chapter. And the Chazon Ish was discussing, firstly, the concept that we accept that Hashem is running the world and could change things at any time. Whether he will or won't, he doesn't guarantee us, but he could. And at hard times, that when we have difficulty feeling like he's running the show, that's what we call bitachon. Same concept, just its applications when things don't feel that way. And then the Chazon Ish went on to discuss the idea that emunah and bitachon are an applied science, and part of emunah and bitachon is that I live my life with the system of the Torah. And he discussed the importance of learning halakha and the depths of Talmud so that I can actually apply the Torah in my life. If I adhere to the principles, well, that's not enough because I have to know how to apply them. And then the Chazon Ish discussed how our ethics really revolve around the proper knowledge of halacha, because you can have very similar scenarios where in scenario A, Mr. X is correct, and then you should be fighting for him. And in scenario B, Mr. X is incorrect, and then you should be fighting against him. And the difference between when he is correct or incorrect in the eyes of the halacha can depend on a nuance, can depend on very minute details. As in any business transaction, the agreement is contingent on what you really agreed, and fairness is contingent on following through on that which is really the honest and fair approach. So the Torah gives us those details, but we can sometimes be misled to think that it's enough to learn the values, the principles, the ethics, and not the applied science. And so Chazon Ish was fighting for the importance of learning the applied science, the halakha, the actual living of the life of Torah in accordance with halakha. Then the Chazon Ish brought us many examples of where people run into this problem, such as when they go to court, and the court rules against them. And then, of course, suddenly it's very hard to accept that the judge knows what he's talking about. Either he doesn't understand the Torah or he doesn't understand me. But either way, it's very hard for people's ego to accept that that judge understands the Torah, understood me, and ruled against me. That's very hard for people to accept. And the Chazon Ish went on to discuss the mistake that people make when they claim he is partial. He is only saying that because his perspective is such and such and such. And he said that people sometimes say that they don't realize that they're undermining any capacity of any judge to give any ruling. Because if I'm going to say that the judges or the ones who transmit the Torah are suspect of applying their own partiality, then I've chucked all the truth out the window. Because I could easily say that about anything they say that I don't like. And in concluding this chapter, the Chazon Ish says, V'nikach ha-dugma. He concludes chapter 3, page Mem Beis. He says, we'll take the following example. L'man yitzteiru ha-dvarim b'lev mitlamed tzura kvua v'kayemet, so that the one who's learning can have an accurate picture that will stay with him. I want to conclude the chapter, he says, with the following example, so that the concept will be etched into your hearts. Et ha-itavkut shubnei adam mekabalat rav u'parnas al ha-tzibur. He says, the example we'll discuss is the fights that take place with regards to the question of who's going to be appointed as rabbi or who's going to be appointed in charge, the governor of the people. Ze posel dayano shel ze veze posel dayano shel ze, where each person has a tendency to disqualify the judge or the rabbi or the governor that the other person suggests. Umin ha-ra'uy she-yaskimu kulam al achat gedol le-yado. So the truth is that if everyone agrees we adhere to a Torah lifestyle, so then we should also agree that we'll just take the question to the leaders of the generation. Let's ask them who's the right person to be rabbi in our community. And if you're not going to go to the smarter person and let him decide because the common folk are too stubborn, אפשר לקרוא להם שזדונות נעשה להם כשגוגות, ואומנם הם מכירים בחטאם. We would want to say, it's a mistake. But the truth is that they realize they're making a mistake. You can't call it a mistake when people know that they shouldn't be doing it this way. The problem is that the masses are unaccustomed to this idea that if it's logical, you do it even if you don't like it. I don't like it. Why should he tell me who should be rabbi here? I'll decide who's going to be rabbi in my community, but maybe I don't have the tools. But this is so destructive, says the Chazon Ish. When you have people who claim they're fighting in the name of honesty and what's the common good, and they stand firm, and they think that the only thing that's guiding them is their desire for good, and their logic takes a form as though it was a science, and when they present the person they think should lead the community, they present it as though it was well thought out, it was calmly discussed. And then they say, it's obvious to us who the right choice is. There's no reason to consult someone bigger. As though it's been discussed and thought out calmly.
Yossi, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yoshua ben Elazar, והרי הדבר נוגע אליו, הוא רוצה יותר ברב זה מפני, והנה בא ליצנות אחת ודחתה מאה תוכחות, ועובדים עבדה זרה בתארה ועושים את הפלסטר תורה.
What their argument is, if we go to the rabbi, if we go to the chief rabbi, so just like we learned earlier, that there were rabbis who said about themselves, I have to consult with someone else because I'm partial. So they say, you see, if we go to the chief rabbi, he's partial. The opposite is true. When a person's partial, then they honestly put the cards on the table and they say, I'm partial. Right? That's what they do. But people will take this and with one joke, they say they undo 100 proofs. Hey, you want the right person to lead the community? Go discuss it with someone who understands what it means to lead a community. Now, why can people make such a mistake? We're on the top of page Mem Gimel. It's because they learn ethics, but they don't base those ethics on halacha. If people understand that to be a good person, it's not enough that I'm a nice person, I smile to people, I give charity. I have to know how to apply that niceness. Where do I fight? Where do I concede? Sometimes you have to fight, sometimes you have to concede. Being nice doesn't always mean I don't fight. Being nice sometimes means I have to fight. And if I don't fight for what's right, so then that's not being nice. You can't just say, I'm a nice guy. But you got to know, how do you apply that? So the halacha tells you.
You know, all the time, you know, what's worth sacrificing your life and other people's life for and what isn't.
Yeah.
You can be right. At times you can say, you know, maybe now we shouldn't go to the temple. Should, you know. So all the time that comes up.
Yeah.
You hope that the people making decisions, you hope.
Right.
Leaders.
Right. But he's saying if we were accustomed to thinking that the applied science of being a kind person is contingent on halacha, then it would be obvious that the decision of who's supposed to lead the community should be decided by halacha.
And in the bigger world, he's talking that communists hate it, has on this slip.
Yeah.
You know, where majority, you know, the right, and who consults, and the people know, and it's very different than what he's saying. You go to the wisest people, if you're smart, and hear what they have to say before you just, you know, that I think it's that.
Yeah, but he's describing, a few months ago, someone wanted me to take a certain position in the rabbinate, and I said, I'm not interested. And quite a few rabbis called me up and they said, if you don't take it, then go learn this Chazon Ish, because what's going to end up happening is the masses are going to decide on someone, and then you're going to run into a situation. I said, I don't feel worthy. They got to find someone bigger than me to take that position. And they said, you think so? But look at this Chazon Ish. Look at how it does play itself out. People claim they're doing it based on logic, and they're not going to get anyone like you you'd like. That was their argument. I said, no, so we have to work to make it happen that the right thing evolves and that the right person gets to the position. But the fear is that the ones who appoint and decide who the rabbi or the leader should be very often are like the Chazon Ish described. They claim they're doing it in the name of good. They claim they're, you know, in Kochav Yaakov, in our community, when, before I came to the community, so they put out an ad, and they advertised they're looking for a Rav of the community, and then they took all the forms, all the applicants, and they brought them to Rabbi Bochco. And they said, now you tell us which ones we should consider. That's what Chazon Ish is talking about. That you say, if I need someone to teach me, so let me go to someone who knows more than, hopefully, than that someone, and let him tell me who I should choose to teach me. Right? But I don't know of many places that do it that way. That's what Chazon Ish is saying. Very often people say, in the name of the good, but I don't have to consult. I don't remember what this acronym is, which rabbis it was. When they had an argument, the two rabbis asked another judge to judge them. Now you would say, if they have a court case, then aren't they partial? Why did they choose the judge? If I'm in the court case, I shouldn't be the one to choose the judge. Very often, when two people have a court case, they can't agree who should judge their case. Sometimes you say, if you choose the judge, he'll favor you because you chose him. So we're going to go to the judge that I choose. So then, shouldn't you say, I'm not going to be the one to choose the judge because I don't want him to be partial in my favor. From here we actually derive that the contrary is true, that you're allowed to choose your judge. It's not considered as though the judge says, oh, you complimented me, you chose me. I'm going to rule in your favor. As the Ramah rules in Shulchan Aruch. I had a guy who came to me with a monetary shaila, and he said, this person is wrong, you cheated me. And he brought all the paperwork. And after I looked over the question, I said to him, you know, I'm very sorry, but I think according to the paperwork, according to the agreement you signed, everything he did was legitimate. And he wouldn't hear it. And I sat there for like 20 minutes trying to explain to him why the paperwork actually, what the guy did is within the letter of the law. And in the end, I said to him, you know I'm your friend. You came to me, right? I'm not out to get you. You can't say I'm on his side. I don't know him. But I'm looking over the paperwork, and what can I tell you? The paperwork says that within the agreement, he's entitled to do what he did. So he says, you don't know this industry, you don't know this line of work. I said, could be. You asked me. From what I see, from the written agreement, from the written contract, he was entitled to do what he did. And he wasn't willing to hear it. The ruling is that if you choose someone, we assume if he's not going to be partial in your favor just because you chose him.
The other person convicts you.
Right.
So if the other person agrees to him, that's even all the more so he believes that you're going to be fair.
Mekol sheken, yeah. Mekol sheken shein chacham ador nifsal lagid bivchirat rav bishvil negiah v'zeh bichla lo ra'ah. And so certainly you're not going to say that the Chacham Ador, the wise man of the generation, he can't choose the right rabbi for our community because he's partial. That's part of giving a halachic ruling. If he's partial, he'll tell you, I can't, I'm partial. So people here say, I didn't do anything wrong, and they don't realize they're ruining the foundations of Torah. When they say, I can't consult with him because he's partial, as the Chazon Ish explained in this chapter, what they're really saying is that you can't trust the ones who are giving over the tradition. That's the foundation of Torah. That's not to say people aren't partial, but that's to say I trust him when he's partial. He'll tell me I'm partial, don't ask me. And what naturally happens is that people invent partiality that has nothing to do with what the wise man is really thinking. And in essence, it's because they never learned properly that they do mistakes which are not mistakes anymore. He says it's considered as though they did it purposely, because that lack of respect, that lack of appreciation, that it's his responsibility to be honest and I should trust him on that, well, that ends up unraveling the whole system that we're built on, the system of the Torah, the system of Halacha. If my approach is they're partial, so what... What can I trust? So that's the conclusion of this chapter, where the Chazon Ish stresses the importance of working with the system of halacha, and he concludes the chapter with the importance of respecting those who give over the tradition, with respecting them to be honest and trustworthy and to live up to their responsibility. I want to add a footnote to the chapter. I guess do it as a separate recording.